Devam sarvapiyandiyasam Ato jayam mudiraya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya So it's on. Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter number 11. Number 2. The Lord in the stomach. No? Text number 22, the Lord in the heart. Yadi prayasan ripa paramishta paramishtam. Yadi prayasan prayashyan ripa paramishtam. Vaihayasanam utayad viharam Astadipatyam gunasannivaye Sahaya gachin manasindriyaischa Boliega. Yadi prayasan paparameshtyam. Vaihayasanam utayad viharam. Astadipatyam gunasannivaye Sahaiva gacchin manasindriyaischa Yadi prayasan nripa paramestyam Vaihayasanam utayad viharam Astadipatyam gunasannivaye Sahaiva gachyam manasindriyaischa Yadi
However
Prayasan
Maintaining a desire.
Nripa, O King, Paramestyam,
the governing planet of the material world.
Vaihayasanam,
of the beings known as the Vaihayasas. Vaihayasas.
Uta,
it is said,
yat,
what is,
viharam,
place of enjoyment,
ashta
adipatya,
lording it
over with eightfold achievements,
guna
sanibaye,
in the world of the three modes of nature.
Saha,
along with.
Eva,
certainly.
Gachit,
should go.
Manasa,
accompanied by the
mind.
Indriyai,
and the
senses.
Cha,
also.
Yadi praya sandrapaparameshtam vaihaya shanam utayad viharam astadipatya guna sannivaye sahai vagachim manasindriyaischa.
However, O King, if a yogi maintains a desire for improved material enjoyments, like transference to the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, or the achievement of the Eightfold Perfections,
yes?
Travel in outer space with the Vaihyasas, or a situation in one of the millions of planets, then he has to take away with him the materially molded mind and senses. So Sukadeva Goswami is describing the process of self-realization, because Maharaj Parikshit, what was Maharaj's question? What was the question of Maharaj? Yeah, what is the duty of a man during his life, and especially the time of death? What is his dharma responsibility? And so he's describing to hear and chant about Krishna. It's the occupation. And how does he describe Krishna? Viraat Roop. You know? Prabhupada says that the Viraat Roop is the functional material, functional objective, the objective material incarnation of Krishna, like that. So we can meditate upon Krishna. He's the taste in water, the light of the air, the fragrance of the earth. Yeah, so many things like that. And he's been recommended to fix his mind upon these things, talk about these things, kind of pantheistic thing. And now he's going ahead to Paramatma, Lord in the heart. Called Brahman, Paramatma, and he's describing the process, of meditating, introspection. But if somebody has any material desires, then he won't be able to leave this world. He has to go away with his materially molded mind and intelligence. It's like clay, right? You can mold clay, so you can mold your mind and intelligence. Every day, if you're hearing about cricket scores or football scores, you develop a certain kind of mentality. And it lasts. It's durable. Actually, our mentality is more durable than our gross body. Right? You have an auto accident. Your car is destroyed. So you go to the owner of cars, the automobile shop, and you start looking at a new car. And because of your subtle body, you get the same kind of car again, right? Maybe some different color or something, or something, because of your desires. So the buddhi, the repository of our material desires, and the manas, how we think about these things, that goes with us, right? To the next body, and we get another body. So he's saying again, if, however, O King, the yogi maintains a desire for improved material enjoyments, then he has to take away with him the materially molded mind and senses. So what are the material enjoyments he suggests the yogi might like? There's three. Going to Brahmaloka. Yeah? Yeah, all the mystical powers, or fly in the sky like the Vaihyasas. All these different pleasures. Or any of the millions of planets, for enjoyment like that. Purport. In the upper status of the planetary systems, there are facilities thousands and thousands of times greater for material enjoyments than in the lower planetary systems. The topmost planetary system consists of planets like Brahmaloka and Dhruvaloka, the pole star. And all of them are situated beyond Maharlok. The inhabitants of those planets are empowered with eightfold achievements of mystic perfection. They do not have to learn and practice the mystic process of yogic perfection and achieve the power by becoming small like a particle, Anamasiddhi, or lighter than a soft feather, Lagamasiddhi. They do not have to get anything and everything from anywhere and everywhere, Prapti City, to become heavier than the heaviest, Mahima City, to act freely, even to create something wonderful, or to annihilate anything at will, Ishtva City, Ishita City. To
to control all material elements, Vashit Vasiddhi, to possess such power as will never be frustrated by any desire, Prakamya Siddhi, or to assume any shape or form one may even whimsically desire, Kama Vasayitva Siddhi. Covers just about everything. All these expediencies are as common as natural gifts for the inhabitants of those higher planets. They do not require any mechanical help to travel in outer space, and they can move and travel at will from one planet to another within no time. The inhabitants of the Earth cannot move even to the nearest planet except by mechanical vehicles like spacecraft. But the highly talented inhabitants of such higher planets can do everything very easily. Since a materialist is generally inquisitive to experience what is actually in such planetary systems, he wants to see everything personally. As inquisitive persons tour all over the world to gain direct local experience, the less intelligent transcendentalist similarly desires to have some experience of those planets about which he has heard so many wonderful things. The yogi can, however, easily fulfill his desire by going there with a present materialistic mind and senses. Wow. The yogi can, however, easily fulfill his desire by going there with the present materialistic mind and senses. The prime inclination of the materialistic mind is to lord it over the material world. And all the siddhis mentioned above are features of domination over the world. The devotees of the Lord are not ambitious to dominate a false and temporary phenomenon. On the contrary, a devotee wants to be dominated by the supreme predominator, the Lord. A desire to serve the Lord, the supreme predominator, is spiritual or transcendental. And one has to attain this purification of mind and senses to get admission into the spiritual kingdom. With a materialistic mind, one can reach the best planet in the universe, but no one can enter into the kingdom of God. Senses are called spiritually purified when they are not involved in sense gratification. Senses require engagements, and when the senses are engaged totally in the transcendent loving service of the Lord, they have no chance to become contaminated by material affections. So, Paul Ki. Could you write a purport like this? This probably writing this in the loft in the Bowery. You know, I always complain about the facilities I have for my service. Oh, this is not proper, that's not proper. But Prabhupada was writing these purports in the Bowery in a loft. You know, no windows, with LSD maniacs trying to kill him. And still, it's like comes from the spiritual world. So it's a more broad level of consciousness, you know, more intelligence, perspective, and Prabhupada's doing all this. You know. So this is the second canto. First two cantos are Krishna's lotus feet. Right? Then it goes up fourth, fifth, you know, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, that, yeah, 11th. Yeah. And so here, you know, understand the basic principles of Krishna consciousness, you know, and this material world. And of course, you know, you say basic principles, but for the ordinary modern man, these are all like, you know, mythologies, like, you know, adventure stories, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Shrimad Bhagavatam. It's all, you know, all the same fantastic, you know, stories like that. But Prabhupada's talking about these things in complete sobriety. He has no agitation for passion or ignorance. He's just talking about these things. And it seems like he actually knows these things. He's actually experiencing these things. You know? Higher planetary systems. Where are the higher planetary systems? Where is heaven? It's up there. And where is hell? Lower planetary systems. Okay, down there. This is kind of like when I remember when I was a little child. I used to be a little child a long time ago. I remember that. And my brother was digging like, you know, a thing to plant some seeds. And he was digging kind of deep. I was wondering like that. And I was looking at it and I was thinking, well, I was kind of worried that if he dug like that, the devil would come out like that and escape. I was watching like that. I think maybe I'm about 3 years old or something, and I went, wow, the devil's going to escape, you know, so on. So that's kind of a general idea. It's not exactly wrong, but it's not completely right either. It's like some little child, he's playing on the floor with his truck, and his mother's ironing the clothes, and he asks her, he asks his mother, he says, where does my daddy go every day when he goes out like that? And so he can't understand work or something like that, you know. So she thinks about it and says, well, he goes and plays with his friends. Oh, okay, I understand. Every day Nandalal goes and plays with his friends. And he's describing his pastimes, the games they play. Like that, right? You go play with your friends, right? Yeah. It's not wrong. Yeah? It's not wrong, but it's not completely correct. You know? So we mentioned this yesterday. Right now we're in the state of Texas, right? You know? And right now we're in the county of Harris County. Yeah. And right now we're in the city of Houston. And right now we're in the Hare Krishna Dham Incorporated, you know, property like that. You know? So Shamasundar comes in, he's the authority here like that, right? But if some Houston police officer comes in, then he has more authority than Shamasundar. And some county sheriff, call it sheriff here, he comes in, he has more authority. But if a state trooper comes in, everybody has to accept his authority like that. Then, if George Bush walks in, like that. And then if Bill Gates walks in, even George Bush, I guess. Like that. Yes, sir. Like that. I don't know. We're in Brahmaloka. You know, this is not like, you know, Brahmaloka's up there, but it's one part of Brahmaloka which is dedicated to these, you know, gross bhumandal activities. Like even within the city of Houston, I'm sure there's city prison, right? And you go to the city prison, you're still in Houston, yeah? But now in part of Houston which is dedicated to these lower level of consciousness, more egoistic activities, you know? So all these cities and everything else there, Patty is speaking, they're all functional anywhere. You know? Again, like a prison guard, he's in the city prison, you know, but then there's cameras everywhere and he walks to the door and they see, oh, it's one of our guards, and they see his badge number, and the door opens up, you know. So Patty is speaking, he can move, you know, freely. If he's following his dharma, he can move freely anywhere within the prison like that. And later he can go out and take off his uniform and take off his consciousness and, you know, go to his home like that. And for him, actually, it's very nice. And maybe he was a prisoner or something before, and now or somehow really he feels this very great motivation to help these people. Right? That's the idea of prison, is actually to reform you. It's supposed to be like that. It's called penitentiary. The penitentiary. The idea was you're supposed to go in there and do penances. And they had a Bible. The idea was there would be nothing available to read but the Bible. So you go there and do penances, and out of force, because you're going crazy, you start to read the Bible like that and become purified. You know? Realize the evil of your ways. So if somebody in the prison, he has this change of heart, he's thinking, well, I'm going to, you know, be promoted to a higher class, you know, situation in the prison. Right? There's a story that two Irishmen, they came from Ireland, about 1890 or something, and they went through all the immigration thing and about 1 week, and finally they were walking in America. They were citizens of this new country where there was no domination by the church or the state. Everybody was a free citizen. They're walking around in New York, and they saw a bag full of crabs. You know, you've ever seen that? These crabs were all crawling on top of each other, biting each other. It's just like a really, you know, incredible sight. But there were two barrels. One was for $1, crabs for $1, and one was for $5, like that, you know. And so they were looking, and there's one crab in the $1 barrel, and he was like stepping on everybody else and biting everybody else, was more successful, and he'd make his way to the edge of the barrel and grab the edge and pull himself up, and he fell down again. Somebody pulled him, so he tried again. They were watching him. And finally he pulled himself up, and he fell over into the $5 barrel like that. So one Irishman said to the other guy, he said, to see, only in America, right? Only in America can you fight your way up like that to the $5 crab barrel. Right? But this is the whole thing, is everybody's, you know, thinking, I'm going to be more rich than Bill Gates or something. But he still has all these problems, all this anxiety. And when his product is not selling, he's as much anxiety as about everybody else, you know. And the whole place is meant for death, for competition. You know, there actually can be no attachment to the material body and the mode of goodness. Chandika Pandit says, a man in the mode of ignorance sees a hunk of meat. A man in the mode of goodness sees the interaction of the three modes. A man in the mode of passion sees a beautiful woman. Right? Only a man in the mode of passion actually sees a beautiful woman. Yeah, person in the mode of ignorance. Actually, at one time there was one guy, a very tamasic guy. He was in the wheelchair and had some horrible karma. Motorized wheelchair. He came to the temple a couple times in Berkeley. So I saw him up on Telegraph Avenue sometime. It's the big university, you know, street with all these coffee shops and bookstores and, you know, fashion stores. So people coming and going. And one girl walked by and he said, "Hey, what a good looking hunk of meat." And I was, wow, it's just what Chandika Pandit says. Some of the motive of ignorance, he sees like some digestible meat, you know. And someone in the mode of goodness, he sees the interaction of the modes of nature, his passion, things like that. You know. And someone in the mode of passion, he sees, you know, beautiful woman, handsome man, you know, wonderful house or car, like that. So if we're in the mode of goodness, Shuddhasattva, we don't see this material world. There's no attraction for it. You know? Only when the dualities start to come, like this is pleasant, this is painful, right? This is hot, this is cold, then we start to become attached, right? But then when there's no duality, nothing here. So we create our attachment by creating these dualities. After you enjoy enough, your body is so distorted by enjoyment, you go to hell. But what happens down there? Yamaraj has an unlimited number of planets under his jurisdiction to reform your consciousness. Your car gets smashed. What do? You take it to a body shop. Yamaraj's auto repair shop. It goes in. First, there's the frame stretcher. Get your frame back in shape, right? Then it goes through and checks out the engine. The internal parts have to be distorted, re-drill the block, you know, this and that and everything else. Then the body has to be fixed with Bondo. It's like this kind of glue. And then polished. And then painted in the glass. And now other side of this whole thing, out comes your car again now. Like, you know, after you go to hell and go through all these planets to get purified, right, from all these things you've done, now you're ready to enjoy in heaven again. Right? So which is better, heaven or hell? It's the same thing. It's just, you know, two sides of the same coin. When you're in heaven, you're preparing your life in hell. And when you're in hell, you're preparing your life in heaven. Right? So if you think about that, when you're in hell, you think, oh, this is nice. Wow, when I finish all this, I'm going to be able to enjoy this and that and this and that. Wow, this is really good. You know? And when you're in hell, you're suffering. You're thinking, oh, now I'm burning up this credit and that's going away. I'm losing that. Oh, my. You know? So it all depends on your attitude, if you're suffering or enjoying or in heaven or hell. Right? If somebody more intelligent, he gets back from the time factor and he sees the whole thing at one time. Right? Material time. So there's no possibility of attachment if we have this higher consciousness like that. You know? So somebody, he still has this enjoying spirit. He's in the jail, he's suffering, he's fighting. You know? But somebody else, he has this change of heart. That's going to happen in chapter 3 here. At that point, he decides, I'm not going to compete with the Lord anymore. Right? It's wrong. You know? So that I want to purify my mind and senses. Prabhupada said in the purport, only when the mind and senses and intelligence are purified can we actually go to the kingdom of heaven. In the introduction to the Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada says that advancement in devotional service more or less depends on the attitude of the follower, of the student. What is attitude? The definition of attitude? Attitude. In an airplane, the pilot, he's flying his airplane, and it has a certain attitude, right? It has, how's it go? Roll, pitch, and yaw, and roll, pitch, and yaw. X, Y, and Z. Then the roll, you know, the pitch, and the yaw, left and right like that. So that's the attitude of the airplane. So same way, you have this kind of attitude towards life, you know, like that. So we get the right attitude and everything is okay. You know? So the basic Krishna conscious attitude is that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, the Purusha, and we're all Prakriti. Prabhupada is saying here, the devotees are not ambitious to dominate. a false and temporary phenomena. Yeah? On the contrary, a devotee wants to be dominated by the supreme predominator. Right? He wants to be used by Krishna. Let me feel happy. Ah, you know, I'm being used by Krishna. I have my abilities, my nature. It's my constitutional nature. I have a pleasure potency. I have free will. It's not very big, but it's real. And now Krishna wants to use it. He wants to engage me. Can you cook something? Can you cook something for me for dinner? Oh, okay. Right? In Los Angeles, there was a fire. You know, the Los Angeles Temple is next to Venice Boulevard. It's a divided road. In the middle is a grassy area. You've been there. And so some people were using a backhoe and these big machines to take the dirt out like that. And they're digging out one pipe, a big water pipe, like for some work. And then they stopped for lunch. And then one guy was just kind of working on his own there a little bit. And he hit the pipe and broke it. And the foreman started running over, screaming, and then the water was shooting out of the pipe under pressure all the way across the street into this second-story window on the opposite side of the street. And the cars stopped, and then one car, finally the guy was becoming irritated by this, and he just drove his car through. The water hit his hood and went inside and hit his engine, and everybody realized that it wasn't water, it was gasoline. Under pressure. And the second it hit his engine, the whole thing just ignited, and then, you know, it's just flying flame of gasoline rolling down the street, and it melted plastic signs, Eat at Joe's, like about one block away or something. It was so hot, you know, it's like, and then the temple was like about, I don't know, it was, you know, the temple was just back like about one house, one lot from the thing, and it was coming down the street, and the devotees were running here and there screaming, and the alley was like on fire. And Jayatirtha said that Narayan, if you know him, very passionate, you know, emotional guy, he was gonna run down the alley, but it was blazing. And Jayatirtha said, "You can't do that," you know. And he said, "But my family is on the other side. My family is on the other side." So he's running down this alley with fire burning around him like that. And Jayatirtha said, "It looks exactly like the Bhagavatam's description of the conditioned soul, you know, family man in hell running down like that." For his family. So then they took Rukmini Dwarkadish out of the temple. They're running with them. And they went down up the street like that. Where do we go? Let's go to the head pujari's apartment. So the head pujari was there with his wife was in curlers and, you know, like that. And they're eating potato chips and, you know, watching Bart Simpson cartoons or something with Coca-Cola, you know. So there's a knock on the door, you know. They go over, open the door like that. And it's Rukmini Dwarkadish. So quickly, push the Coca-Cola off the table and like that. Turn off the cartoons, kick a television set, you know. And there they are sitting on their coffee table, you know, for 2 days. So at that point, the pujari, he said he'd been thinking that, well, Krishna can't do anything, he can't move, he can't talk. And then all of a sudden, there he is in my living room. Like that, came back to my house, you know, so on. So, and then, wow, how nice. Krishna's actually in our house. I can actually cook for Krishna on my stove and everything. He came to eat at my house. So this is what the living entity at heart is always desiring. You know, in illusion, we're thinking I'm the enjoyer. I want to dominate. You know, the eightfold coverings of material nature. I want to dominate my tongue. I want to dominate my belly. I want to dominate my genitals. I want to dominate the extensions of these things, right? Yeah. But it never happy. Because it's always, Prabhupada says, a temporary, false and temporary phenomena. It's not real in the first place, and even the illusion doesn't last. So it's like, what have I got? Nobel laureates, what do they want? What are the scientists? What is their material ambition? The Nobel laureates, the scientists. Huh?
Grants.
Money. Yeah. But also fame, prestige, for having the biggest brains, the smartest and most intelligent. And also they talk about these inconceivable pleasures of the mind, discovering these different relationships and things like that. It's like playing chess. Ah, systems and relationships like that. Brahma, you know. And so one Nobel laureate, Zhent Gyorgy, he had a little higher motivation. And when he got his Nobel Prize, he said, "When I became a scientist, I became a scientist because I wanted to know what is life? What is life?" And so I was following everybody else, doing investigation this way, that way, and so many people following my guidance, you know. And so, but finally, here at the end of my career, I'm left with nothing but atoms and molecules, DNA, RNA, you know, the leucine, amino acids. So here at the end of my career, I'm left with nothing but atoms and molecules, which are completely devoid of all life whatsoever. So somewhere along in my path, you know, I made a mistake. So now in my old age, I'm forced to retrace my steps and try to find out where life slipped through my fingers. Like that. Very poignant, you know. So this is it. He was trying to find life and dominate it in the illusory, in the false and temporary phenomena. But only this, at the end, frustration, misery, nothing. Right? Yeah? Nothing. Yeah. So the devotee is not interested in that. The devotee wants to be dominated by Krishna. And Krishna has unlimited, eternal, ever-expanding, lusty desires, right? Krishna wants to enjoy more and more. You cook a very nice offering for Krishna. Krishna says, wow, very wonderful. He enjoys it. And he says, any more? Well, yeah. But you discover, self-realization means discovering deeper and deeper abilities to serve, right? Deeper and deeper abilities to serve Krishna. I didn't know I had that ability. I didn't know I had that ability. I didn't know I had that ability. Wow, maybe I don't. I don't have this ability. Maybe someone else has it. It goes on expanding, you know, forever. Yeah, it's increasing our ability to serve Krishna. Yeah. And so some people in the material world, Brahmandi Brahmatiko, they have this fortune, you know, to change their consciousness. And then the material world actually becomes a very nice place. Right? In the prison. You decide, I really am in the wrong kind of consciousness. I really am an evil person. I've done wrong things. I know that. And now I can see that, and I really want to change, you know. But what can I do, you know? I was raised up in a family. My father used to beat me every day. You know, my brothers and sisters, they're such like a emotional, you know, what's the word, scars in my consciousness and stuff like that. And even if I go out, what will I do? I have no ability. I can't earn money in a decent way. Within a few days, I'll be talking to the same old friends. And within a few weeks, I'll be doing the same thing, stealing cars, doing this and that. You know? So, what to do? Well, in the prison, there's a psychologist. You know, you can take I know one devotee, actually, named Chandradas. He was a psychologist. He works in a prison in near Boise, Idaho. You know? Disciple of Bhatrita Maharaj. He does that. They have different psychological tests, inventories, and you discover what these things are, and then individual counseling if you want to. And then you can go through and gradually take care of these problems, emotional problems, and correct them. Just the same way you have to deal with your body, you have to deal with your mind. Right? Again, the emotional problems in your mind can last a lot longer than the problems in your body. You know? Many lifetimes they can exist. But it's therapy, just like for the body, they're for the mind. And so you go through this motivation, you know, of correcting your mind and senses, your attitude, and you have a good attitude. And then there's occupational training. You can learn how to do something, become an auto mechanic, an airplane mechanic, you know, something. You go through, you work, an accountant, and you think, this is a good place. So actually very nice that I'm here, you know. And I'm controlled, my daily schedule is controlled, but I need that. If I wasn't forced to get up at a certain time, this and that, I would start doing other things, I know. I need to get the taste, I need to have an experience for this, and then I'll do it naturally. Yeah. So that point that the prison is not a bad place, yeah? It's actually a very good place. Yeah. Ramananda Roy is talking to Lord Chaitanya, and he's talking about higher and higher levels of consciousness. Then he comes to Goloka, and he says there's different levels. There's Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakyaras, Manoyaras. And he says that Tatastasta, from a neutral position, you know, we can see that you know, Dasyaras is higher than Shantaras, and Manoyaras is higher than Vatsalyaras. Tatastasta, from a neutral position. But a neutral position is, I would say, practically speaking, impossible to get in Vrindavan. Maybe for a moment. In Vaikuntha, maybe a little more possible. Because everybody's caught in their, you know, the lila, the activities. And so he says, objectively speaking, yeah, there's a hierarchy. But he says, really, whatever position a devotee's in, that's the right position for him. That's the correct position for him. It's not that Hanuman is hankering to buy a sari, right? And put a sari on and go dance in the Ras Lila. No. You know, that's not the right position for him. No? Yeah. And so even in the material world, you know, whatever position we're in, as a karmi or a gyani or a vibhukti gyani or a bhakti yogi, you know, whatever position we're in, honestly, that's the right position for us, right? You know, somebody's more advanced than I am, even in, you know, becoming liberated, but that's not my position, right? In the Bhagavad Gita, I think of Vishnu Chakravarti, he says that Arjuna is asking Krishna by some of his glances, you know, why do I have to fight this battle? You know, Vyasadeva didn't have to fight. He told Vyasadeva he could just engage in hearing and chanting all the time. So why can't I do that? You know, and Krishna's response is because you're not on the same platform as Vyasadeva. You're still attached to your karma. You're not attached to the results of your karma, but you're attached to your karma. Prabhupada says in the beginning, a devotee is very attracted to a certain mode of service, a certain kind of service. You know, he's animated by that. This is karma mishra, bhakti yoga. But as he becomes more advanced, he just falls in love with Krishna. And whatever Krishna wants, that's what I want to do. Right? He relishes that. You know? So Arjuna is acting like a karma yogi. Right? He's showing us how somebody is attached. And so Krishna tells him, so do it. Do your karma, but sacrifice the results to me. And by that way, you'll be able to participate in my plan. And you'll be able to educate other people. And you'll become purified. You'll get knowledge, wisdom. So you become a jnana. Yeah, Mishra Bhakti Yoga. Yogi. Jnana Mishra Bhakti Yogi. Yeah? So Prabhupada is saying we have to purify the materially molded mind and senses. Yeah? And when they're properly purified, they're connected to Krishna. Somebody says that here too. Yeah. So yeah, the senses require engagements. And when the senses are engaged totally in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, they have no chance to become contaminated by material infections. Right? So they're active. You know, Prabhupada says the material elements have some innate ability to react. You know, it's not that they're completely dead. The material elements by themselves have some innate ability to react. So the senses have this automatic reactive ability, and they have to be engaged. Yeah. In the Nectar of Instruction again, Dikshasti Che Pranata Beach Sabhajatam Isham, Prabhupada talks about spiritual initiation, second initiation. That when you're engaged in worshiping the deity, he says now you're fully engaged in serving Krishna, the loving transcendental service of Krishna. When Prabhupada installed Rukmini Dwarkadish in Los Angeles, a very famous tape, you know. As you remember, he was talking about it. The devotees thought it was like dolls. Now we can play with dolls. We can play with the Radha and Krishna dollies. You know, how nice. But as it was going on, they were beginning to realize this is very serious. These are not dolls. And people were becoming more and more nervous, like, take them back. But all the installation ceremony was done. And so Prabhupada said, now you are dealing with Krishna. Now you must be very careful. Because now you are dealing with Krishna. And so when you make the offering, you must make it like this. And Prabhupada was crying. He said, I am a very, very rotten person. And I have brought this rotten offering to you. But because I am the servant of your servant, you must accept it. Like that. He's crying. So all the pujaris are thinking, oh my God, every time I make an offering, you have to cry. It's like it's impossible, you know. Yeah. So when we're engaged in worshiping the deity, then our senses are fully engaged. That's really one purport. This is what, you know, is what you're paying for. I get all these donations from people. Here's, this is, I have time to read. Everybody else has to go to work, right? Like that. So I'm doing my job. So I'm reading one purport. And Prabhupada says the senses are engaged by deity worship. You know, you're bringing water for Krishna, you're cooking for Krishna, you're fixing Krishna's temple. Everything that, you know, the senses require is there in the service of Krishna. Seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, lifting, moving. So by deity worship, you know, we can grow corn for Krishna, we can grow squash for Krishna, we can grow beans for Krishna. It's a complete diet. It may not be very elegant, but it's a complete diet. You know? And then the mind, how is the mind controlled? Two things. How is the mind engaged? The senses are engaged by deity worship, and the mind is controlled by. We do it all the time. Hearing and chanting. Yeah? Yeah, when you hear something, your mind is involved. There's my background's in psychology. There's an interesting phenomenon called the cocktail party phenomenon. that if there's a bunch of sounds going on, and someone says, Kubera, Kubera, Kubera. Huh? No, it's an experiment. If someone says your name, I think you're like four times more sensitive to your name as a sound, other things like that. Someone says, Hanuman Swami. It's like, yeah? So the mind is engaged by sound, right? So they have all this sound going on in the headphones and different things are going on like that, and your name appears like that. And it's the same level as all the rest of sound, but you're like four times more sensitive to your name and other things like that. Yeah? So the mind is engaged by sound. Yeah? Hearing and chanting, pastimes of Krishna, you know, Krishna's pastimes as a Purusha avatars, how he creates this world, how it's all made, how mystical powers work. And if we're attached, okay, then we can go to these planets. And Prabhupada's saying, even in this somewhere, this, yeah. Oh yeah, says the materialist, somewhere he says this, yeah. Yeah. The yogi can, however, easily fulfill his desire by going there, these different lokas, with the present materialistic mind and senses. Senses, right? So even in this world, we can experience these kinds of pleasures and subtle forces and powers like that, even in this body. Mishnu Prabhupada says that because of material desires, you may have so many desires. You know, for example, you may have a desire to eat snakes. Anybody here got a desire to eat snakes? You don't know. Yeah. So, what kind of body can you eat snakes? Dominate them, huh? Yeah, eagle. One devotee, Buddha Maheshwari, who was hiking in the hills in California there, just out for a nice walk, and he saw this one hawk kind of just circling and just flying. It was just like flapping his wings and kind of staying like that in the air. And he said, what's going on? You know? And he kind of was focusing on one area. He looked over there, was a nice, big, fat rattlesnake sleeping in the sun like that, you know. And this hawk was just really lining himself up so his shadow didn't pass over him. And all of a sudden he just dropped like that. And the snake perceived him just as he was about to hit him, came up, but it wasn't quite fast enough. And the snake got him, it bit his head off, and took his body off into the air. And then they let off this big call of like, you know, sound of like victory. And I'm like, just flying away with like a lot of tension, because if you miss your strike, you're dead, right? You know, like that. So he came right down. It was like, you know, victory, power, you know, everything. It was such a good feeling. Lunch, everything, you know, like that. So you have this desire, you know. So what happens? You have dreams. And in dreams, you're eating snakes, like that, or have all these strange, bizarre, beastly, you know, ghastly dreams. So Prabhupada says a devotee shouldn't be too disturbed by this, because Krishna arranges it, this opportunity. You can experience these things, you know, without having to take a body. If you like it, okay, then you got to take that body. But if you don't like it, or you're satisfied, that's not nice, you know, then you don't have to go through that, right? So even in this present body, we're chanting Hare Krishna, then we probably are going to develop different kinds of mystical potencies and things like that, and we can have a taste of it, you know. And if we're really attached and we're chanting our rounds, we can, you know, have these out-of-body experiences. But he says here, the mind and senses, you can go there, right? You can exist in that level like that. You know? But it's a distraction, you know. It takes so much work to purify the heart. I was in the Brajmanda Parikrama. I walked away in the morning from our camp down to the Jamuna. And it was very, you know, early in the morning. And I was remembering Prabhupada says, you know, be careful walking around in Vrindavan in the morning. The people will cut your throat for a lota. And I had my lota with me. My bath. Oh my God. It was like some distance from our camp. And all of a sudden I walked right into the water of the Jamuna. Like that. And I was like, took my bath. Then I was thinking, the parikrama is very good for yoga. It's a wonderful chance, right? You know, just to, you know, become purified. So I was thinking, wow, do you actually believe there's a God who will protect you? And I was being honest, saying, no, not really. I'm terrified. Then why are you doing this, you know, for so many years? My intelligence is going through these questions. And I thought, well, because I'm trying to change my heart, really, not the mind and senses so much. Then I examined, well, at heart, do you actually believe there's a God to protect you? And I go, well, yeah, a lot more. You know, deep in the Buddhi and the intelligence is there. You know, so maybe we won't change our mind and senses in one lifetime. And maybe we'll still have very passionate Western bodies, ignorant bodies, and addicted to these things like that. Okay, but under control. But The real question is how much we're changing the root consciousness, the ahankara, right? Because if you destroy at the root this desire to dominate the material world, even though externally you may have so many, you know, mental, psychological, and physical contaminations, at the time of death, it's finished. Because there's no place for them to hang on to. It's gone now, the root's gone, so they'll just go. And then nothing will be able to catch a hold of you, grab you anymore. Because you've purified the basic fundamental, you know, nature of your identity. So maybe we won't develop mystical powers as Western guys. Maybe you Indian guys will do this. You have mystical powers in this lifetime. But, you know, we Western guys got to be stuck with our Palm Pilots and our, you know, our automobiles and experience mystical powers that way. You know. But, you know, something is there, some opportunity. And so why be diverted? I know people, yogis, you know, Western guys that are very arrogant, very proud, and they really develop a lot of, you know, subtle powers, even in the Western body, like that, by doing austerities and pranayama. But it takes them a long time. You know, one yogi came out of the mountains, came out of the river, and he was like, you know, walking on the water, and all the people were coming up and amazed and paying their obeisances, bowing down to him. So when Vaishnava came along, and he said, "Oh, that's amazing. You can walk on the water like that." He said, "How long did it take you to develop this power?" And the man said, 15 years of austerities. And the Vaishnava shook his head. He said, "Amazing." He said, for 20 paisa, the boatman won't take me across the water like that. It took you 15 years to learn a 20 paisa trick. Amazing. Yeah. So what is it? You know, if we actually can purify our hearts within one lifetime, there's so much work to do just to do that. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not this lifetime or not. I can see I'm making progress, but boy, it's like, how many years do I have left? You know, yeah. So don't be diverted in developing mystical powers. You know, you can come to Mangala Arati. If you want to lose fat, reduce your fat. Right? Prabhupada talks about fat reducing yoga like that. So come to Mangala Arati. And hop up and down this time in the morning like that. Hop up and down like that. I guarantee your health will improve so much. Practically speaking, it's one of the best things you can do for your health is hopping up and down. The whole lymphatic system becomes, right, flushed. You know, it's the best time in the morning psychologically. Gravity, you know, everything else. And you do all this chanting. It's, you know, the best thing you can do for your health, your mental fitness. You know, your motivation like that. You know. But, you know, don't do it just for that purpose, you know, right? Prabhupada said one time that religion is not for getting bread. But it's actually the best way to get bread. Religion is not for getting bread. But it's actually the best way to get bread, like that. So, you know, our bhakti yoga is not for mental power, is not for health. But actually speaking, it's the best way to get these things. You know, if you listen for 1 hour attentively, submissively, and critically, you become conditioned to that way of listening. So you go to your job, any job, and you have this habit of listening to your fellow employees, your clients, your boss, attentively, submissively, and critically. What's going to happen to your career? You're going to go up faster than everybody else, right? Yeah? Yeah. So everything is here. Our program is for material prosperity. Everything is here like that. Yeah? This morning program. Right? Get ahead. How to get ahead of your rivals and competitors. Come in the morning program. Reduce fat. And increase your intelligence. You know, become powerful yoga. And maybe also, you know, purify your heart. Yeah? Radharani and Krishna is so happy to see us here. You know, like that. You know, contribute a little bit of advancement in devotional service. Like that. Yeah? Yeah. This morning Radharani's dress was a little crooked. And I was having this flash of experience. Well, maybe that's because she was dancing with Krishna last night and her dress is like a moment, like feeling of like, wow, it's so nice, you know. They're playing and, you know, having fun. You know. Yeah. So it makes you want to participate. You know. Not as Tarzan, not as Jane, right? As Cheetah. We are all Cheetah here. So any questions, comments, evaluation, yeah. Like that. You want to go to higher planetary systems? You want to go? Do you want to go to higher?
Last question. The last paragraph over here.
Last.
What is the actual meaning of that? And the yogi leaves the body, he closes all his gates. And
oh.
Is the concept of the Lord? Is this the meaning of that one?
No, closing all the gates.
What is the meaning of that?
Like this, it's one mudra. Like this. Here we go. Goodbye. Yeah, your eyes, your nose, your ears, your mouth. Yeah, because prana is tactile force. You know, here there's prana here. Everything you can feel is prana. But here it's in balance. It's not moving like that. You know, but you take a little bit. You know the trick. You take some fire, some other prana in a certain condition. Then the prana gets released from this, and you can feel it. Ooh, you can, you know, if you put your hand near it, you can feel the prana coming off it. That's prana. You know? But in the body is contained within certain channels, like that. So this is Ayurveda. You know, it's very simple. If you start thinking about it, you can just develop some natural knowledge of it very easily. I'm having all these problems in my eyes, my ears, my throat. And so the Ayurvedic doctor in Peru, Rupanuga, he's very good, Peruvian guy. When he picked it up, he said, it's because you're traveling so much. You know? He said, your body is like a bottle of 7-Up, right? And so you shake the thing, and what's going to happen? You know, all this pressure. You know? He says, you know, what happens when you go to the airport? You know, before you even arrive there, you start feeling the tension, right? Did I have my ticket? You know, it's all my bags here. My bag's unlocked, or else they'll break my lock. You know, you go in there, there's all this tension. There's guys with machine guns standing around. It's like, you know, it's like, you get in line. Line's a little bit long. Will I be late for my flight? You get on the airplane. They say, if the oxygen fails, this mass will fall from the sky. If they fall in the water, there's a life preserver under your seat. Like that. But don't open it inside. Wait until you get outside and take off your high heel shoe. It's like, God, it's like, you know, they find you come, your luggage is not there, and people are not to meet you. So by the time you come to your residence, you know, you're about to explode with energy, right? And sure enough, you get a headache and everything else. You know? So he recommended a rhythm, you know, for activities and stuff like that, which really helps. Actually, I come to the same conclusion as he does. You know? And then that helps you, you know. And then also in the diet, Ayurveda. For example, if you boil potatoes, you get starchy water, a little bit of ghee and cilantro, like that. So it's a nice broth. And what happens, you can just feel like, you know, it's like, you know, the body opening up and the prana going off like that. More fruit, you know. So that's the prana, that's the air. This translation of the word air is like, you know, confusing in some ways, right? But it's just no better translation. It's invisible. It's invisible. You know, it's tactile energy, and you can feel that sometimes. You have your eyes and your head, you know, different things. You know, so also if you're passing urine, right? If you don't squat down, when the final urine goes out, there's a loss of ojas, which is translated as semina, but it's not gross physical fluid. You can feel this loss of energy. Like that, tactile energy. So when you're squatting down, when you're passing stool and urine, then there's automatic bandha, you know, tension like that. And it's not a final elimination of everything. There's some retention, and that, you know, keeps you from losing, you know, prana. You know, yeah. So very subtle things like that. Why you have to do different things like that. But as if you give us some hint like that, you experiment. Oh yeah, that's what's happening. I can feel that. But in Western, our modern industrial society is not inclined towards touch. It's inclined towards which of the five senses?
Enjoying.
No, but it's inclined to one of those senses. Which is the most predominant sense? Sight, touch, taste, smell, vision. Yeah, many studies in sociology. I went to the University of California, the computer. How many references do you have on acoustical perception? 500. How many references do you have on visual perception? 5,000. In many experiments. So we're very inclined just to seeing everything. And you go to your work, right? You have so many graphs and things like that, all seen. But not how it feels. You know? But that's actually finer. Finer than vision is touch. Finer than touch is sound. Like that. But you're very inclined to see everything, you know? So they're not trained how to feel what's happening in their bodies. And so they, therefore, they become very frustrated, tension. So, you know, a martini or beer or marijuana. Everybody, when they go home in America, practically speaking, I don't know, everybody, there's probably like at least 90% of the people take some kind of intoxication, you know. And usually it's beer or marijuana. It's like mild intoxication, you know. And then some movie. And what is the movie? One guy told me, he said, kung fu movies, that the plot is just an excuse to tie together all these fight scenes like that. You know, guys spinning in the air, killing 150 people. I'm on the airplane. My thing is, I don't take the headset usually. I'm really controlling my senses. I can't avoid like seeing what's happening, you know. So this one guy was a Chinese guy in Paris or something. He had to do something, you know. And at some point he was in the police academy. He closed the door and turned around. There was like, you know, 50 black belt police guys there he had to fight with. So he was fighting with all of them. And then the evil police captain was chasing him, came in behind, and there's all these guys lying on the floor like that, you know. You know. So it's a big emotional stimulation. That's what happens in the movies, some emotional stimulation like that for the same thing, like, you know, to have some experience, because the society is so dead, you know. So this is all prana, you know. So there are different ways to block this. You can put your heel in your anus, you know, it's like, that's what's described here. And that will keep, you know, the outward flow of prana from going down, and, you know, there's different levels like that, internally and externally. And this is one system, and is to go up and find the Brahmarandra. I think when babies are born, there are three bones, I think like that, isn't it? I think it's three plates like that. And they're loose, you know. And so then very quickly they calcify and they look solid. But still, if you feel it there, you can feel like the center place. That's the Brahmarandra. So then all this air pressure is building up. And naturally your body, past 50, Ayurveda says your prana starts to predominate. Kapha pita vayu. So vayu starts to predominate. And so you get colder easier and you're more sensitive. And it gets more and more intense until finally about like 65 or 70. It just is so intense. It just, you know, it's, if you're controlling it properly and you can close off these lower gates like that, then at that time you're just gonna, you know, it pops out of your head. There's a picture in the Back to Godhead magazine with like the flesh coming out, like, you know. It's, you know, it can happen. You know. It may be invisible, or else it may actually produce some visible result like that. Yeah. And you'll go to higher planets. And depending on your nature, the subtle body you've created, you become attached to another body like that. Yeah? Locked into that one. Yeah? And but above the Vayu Devatas are the Digvijayas. Right? Digvijayas are the gods in charge of direction, which is only sound. So they have no attachment to prana. Yeah? They're not attached to tactile body, just to space. I have my space. Right? American private space is about this big. British private space is about like this big. You know, Greek space is about Greeks you have to touch. Italians have to move their hands. You have to talk, you know, with your hands. Like that. But tactile, you know. But Greeks actually have to touch. You know, when you're talking to a Greek, he'll be rubbing your arm or something like that, or hitting you, you know, it's like, you know. But Indians, you know, somewhere there. You know, but all the Indians I know, when they first come to America, they have this experience that everybody's kind of backing up from them like that, right? And they're talking. And then finally someone will tell them, they say, you know, Rajiv, in America we don't stand this close. It's kind of uncomfortable for us. It's, oh, excuse me, I know you didn't know. It's just, that's, so you begin to realize America, you know, probably when you go back to India, everybody thinks you're very cold and impersonal, you know, like that. So it's a space. It's created by the mind. Yeah? And so we have to have our space, my body, my sport, my stuff. Yeah? But we're not attached to prana. This is a Digvijaya Loka. Yeah? It's okay?
Yeah.
So, blocking it. Shema Bhagavatam Ki.
Yeah.
Ma Prasadam Ki. Testing the book distribution Ki. Everybody try and distribute a book today. Just try. See what happens. I'll try and see what happens. Of course, you need books too, right? Go to Korea, books? You have books available? Are you in charge of the gift store still?
Yeah.
You can get everybody here books for distribution. Nectar of instruction.
How do you stop this? Just push the off button? I erase everything. Do that.
It's going.
There's an off button.
Oh. Yeah, stop.
Okay. Oh, very good. I did my 59 minutes, 55 seconds. Wow.